mercy and peace be to you, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this sermon is from Romans 3, and especially these words. Where then is boasting? It was excluded. By what sort of principle? By a principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith alone, apart from works of the law. My sisters and my brothers, think with me for just a moment about opposites. Opposites. One way to think about them is to say that two things that are opposite cannot fill the same room at the same time. They can't fully coexist. So, for instance, light and darkness are opposites. You can't have them at the same time. You can have a growing light that drives back the darkness, or you can have a growing darkness that drives back the light, but light and dark are opposites. So are love and hatred, and truth and error, and any number of things like that. Today is the festival of the Reformation of the Church. It's a day to rejoice, a day to celebrate, a day to remember, and also a day ourselves to be changed again. Because Jesus has not yet returned in his glory, and because we are all still sinners, we need to have a reformation in who we are as Christians and how we think and believe and live as Christians. Many of us are familiar with the three alones of the Reformation. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. Well, our text for today from Romans 3 takes us directly and focuses in on that middle one, faith alone. So I have a question. What is the opposite of faith? What cannot occupy the same space at the same time as faith? What can't coexist with faith? The answer, boasting. Boasting. Paul says, where then is boasting? It was excluded, shut out, driven out. Because faith has come, there is no longer room for it. It had to go. Paul tells us that boasting is the opposite of faith. Now, why would that be? Well, I'd like to demonstrate this through a story, through a parable. And it's a parable that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke. Now, in this parable, there are two men. And one of the men embodies the concept of faith. He responds in faith. Whereas the other man embodies boasting. Okay? So two men go up to the temple to pray. One was a religious, church-going type, pious, a Pharisee. And the other guy is the scum of the earth. He's a jerk. He's nasty. He's called a tax collector. Now, the Pharisee goes right up to the front of the temple. He lifts his hands up, and he begins to pray about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Tax collectors, robbers, adulterers, evildoers. I give a tenth of all that I get. I pray. I fast. But that nasty tax collector, he was off to the side. He wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven, but rather beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So here's the question. Which is the man of faith, and which is the man of boasting? The surprising thing about this parable is that the religious, pious, church-going guy is not the man of faith. He's the boaster. And I'd like to suggest two things this morning of why he's the boaster. The first is this. He's the boaster because he looks in the wrong direction. Notice his words. I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. I pray. I tithe. I fast. I. It's a little over the top. And not only does he look at himself, but the second place he looks is he looks at other people. Not only is he praying about himself, but he's praying that he's not like these folks. So the first thing I want you to remember about boasting is boasting looks in the wrong direction and it looks at the wrong thing. But before we get too hard on that Pharisee, before we come down on him, we should realize that in the story of the Gospels, he's not the one who does this the most. In fact, if you follow the narrative, it's usually the disciples that are the boasters. Haven't you ever noticed that no matter where they go with Jesus, they're always having a certain argument? And what's that argument? Which of us is the greatest? Can't you believe that? These disciples should know better, but they're always debating with one another. Who's the greatest? In fact, a couple weeks ago, we had a lesson where Jesus is trying to tell them that he will die for their sins and rise again for them. And they don't even hear him because they're in the midst of this debate. The disciples, like the Pharisee, looked in the wrong direction. They looked at the wrong thing. But I guess before we're too hard on the disciples, we really should answer this question. Are we ever boasters? Do we ever look in the wrong direction? Do we ever find ourselves focusing on ourselves and looking at other people and comparing ourselves with one another? Well, the second thing that boasting does, the first thing is that it looks in the wrong direction. The second thing that boasting does is that it talks. It talks. It loves to talk. And in our example, the talking is loud and obnoxious. I. The disciples, too. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? But sometimes, boasting talks in a more subtle way. And I think this is more dangerous for us. You see, boasting isn't always on the outside. It's not always external. Sometimes it's internal. Sometimes you're talking when you're boasting. It's all in your head. I bet that most of us could stop right now. We could look across this congregation, maybe with a friend, maybe with a family member, maybe with a pastor, maybe with an elder, and we can find somebody where we have been boasting. We've been looking at ourselves, looking at that other individual, and comparing ourselves to that other individual, maybe even despising that fellow Christian brother or sister. You see, boasting talks. It loves to talk. It might be in your head, but there's a lot of noise, and you're talking, and you're looking in the wrong direction. That's why in verse 19 of our text, God's law must come in. And Paul says, and we know that whatsoever the law says, it speaks to those who are in connection with the law, in order that every mouth may be shut. Where there is boasting, faith cannot remain. And as our boasting grows little by little, it drives back faith. Boasting is the opposite of faith. Paul says very interestingly in verse 27, where then is boasting? It was excluded. Not as our English translations read, it is excluded, but in the Greek, it was excluded. Well, how did that happen? Through a principle of works? No, not through works. It happened through the opposite of boasting. The thing that drove it out. The principle of faith. So what is it about faith that drives out boasting? Well, first of all, unlike boasting, faith looks at the right thing. It looks in the right direction. Faith looks at something that someone else has displayed for it to see. Indeed, someone has put forward the right thing. God put forth his Son. He put forward Christ. And when God did that, he excluded boasting. God put forward Jesus for faith to look at. Now, why did he do that? What does he wish us to see when we look at Christ? Well, first of all, when you look at that cross, you see God's justice. How evil is sin? So evil that it's tangible, it's real, it's destructive, and it cannot be ignored. Sin must be dealt with. And the righteous judge has dealt with your sin. For centuries, as God's plan worked out, God had passed over the sins formerly committed. He had not yet fully and definitively dealt with your sins. But he never lost sight of what had to be done. And then one day, one good Friday, he excluded boasting. Because you look around at what God did there on the cross, and you and I are nowhere to be found. Nowhere. Only one man is there. God has displayed him. Jesus of Nazareth. In his own body, taking the justice of God against sin and dying the consequences of my boasting and your boasting and the boasting of the entire world. What do you see when you look there at the cross? You see a sacrifice by which your guilt and your filth have been forever taken away. His bloody death was enough to make you clean. No, don't look at yourself. Don't look down and check. Don't look in the wrong direction. Look at Christ. The sacrifice that cleanses you and strips away all your boasting. You see, faith looks at Christ, whom God displayed. And Jesus, he rose from the dead. He isn't dead anymore, and he will never die again. And so, death is undone, and guilt is undone, and boasting is undone. See, faith looks at what God put forward for us to see, and on the day when Jesus died and on the day that he rose, God the Father forever excluded boasting. And faith drives it out. And whereas boasting talks a lot, faith is silent, at least at first. Faith is silent and lets someone else do the talking. And God speaks. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then from the cross, Christ cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then on Easter morning, he says those beautiful words of reconciliation, peace be with you. And even now, this morning, this God speaks to you. He speaks to enliven your faith. He says, fully accepted. Your slate is clean, not guilty, fully restored. You belong to me. I love you. So, dear friends in Christ, let faith drive out boasting once again this day. Look at Christ. Look to the forgiveness of sins. Look to his most holy and precious word. Hear those words. I forgive you. And then after receiving Christ's gifts, all boasting excluded, we will leave this place and find that we have something very good to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.